This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakumullah. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, another beautiful Wednesday evening and another one of our majalis. Majalis of what? Majalis of dhikr, majalis of ahadith, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ahadith of who? Ahadith of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, our current series, going through the 40 ahadith of that scholar, that alim, that zahid, that faqih, that muhaddith, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Walhamdulillah, we've already concluded his biography. We went through the first hadith, innamal a'malu binniyat. And we are currently on hadith number 2. What's this hadith called, brothers and sisters? It's called the hadith of Jibreel, the hadith of that angel Jibreel. Why is it called the hadith of Jibreel? Because it was Jibreel who came in the form of a man. He came to the masjid of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the back of the masjid, he said, "Oh Muhammad, can I come forward?" People were shocked. People were amazed, who's this man? He's a stranger, I don't recognize him. Do you recognize him? Nobody recognized him. Well, a stranger should have signs of trouble on his garments or his clothing. There should be some dirt, some dust, maybe some disheveled hair. But no, subhanallah. Sparkling white garments he had, dark black hair he had. He comes forward and he sits in front of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, touching his knees with the knees of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amazing. Takes his hands, puts them on the knees of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba are all shocked. Who is this man and what's he up to? Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. Where's the Ya Rasulullah? Where's the Ya Nabi Allah? None of that. He addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Muhammad, tell me about Islam." Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions al-Islam, "An tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah wa tuqima as-salata wa tu'ti az-zakata wa tasuma Ramadan wa tahujja al-bayta in istata'ta ilayhi sabila." The five pillars of Islam were mentioned. Then he asked, or rather he said, "Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth." فَعَجِبْنَا لِأَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُ. We were amazed, we were shocked. Who's this man? He asks the questions and then he says, "You have spoken the truth," as if he already knew the answer. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, take note. Take note how Jibreel caught the attention of the Sahaba. By these actions of his, he was able to rope them in. Their attention, they were super attentive, subhanallah. And then he asks, "Akhbirni anil iman." Tell me about iman. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions al-iman, an tu'mina billahi wa malaika, to believe in Allah and the malaika. And that's where we had stopped in our previous majlis. Brothers and sisters, we discussed and we said that this hadith is called the mother of the sunnah. It summarizes all of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It gives the description, it gives the definition rather, of Islam, of iman, of ihsan, some of the signs of qiyamah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, a super important hadith. Our previous majlis, we ended off our discussion with regards to the angels. To believe in Allah and the angels. As for Allah, we discussed the matter of uluhiyya and rububiyya and asma wa sifat. Believing in Allah, in His names and attributes. Believing that Allah is our Lord, the one who creates, the one who gives, the one who takes, the one who causes life, takes life. And uluhiyya, that our worship is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, with regards to the angels, This is the second article of faith we had discussed. They were created from what? Created from light, subhanAllah. But they can take form. They can come in the form of bodies. Like this Jibreel, he had come in the form of a man here, subhanAllah. Many other times he would come in the form of that companion, Dihya al-Kalbi. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw Jibreel twice in Jibreel's original form. He had 600 pairs of wings. One pair covered the east and covered the west, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We do not describe the angels as being male or female, subhanAllah. These matters of the unseen, we cannot even fathom them. Try to imagine. Some of the angels, subhanAllah, the ones that carry the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's 700 year distance between the ear and the shoulder of that angel. Imagine that size, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters. And when we say 700 years distance, what are we talking about? Walking, crawling, by camel, by space shuttle? Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allahu musta'an. With you, O listener, Sumayya Ahmed Ilyas, with you right now, there are two angels. There are two angels with you at all times. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. Sitting on your right and sitting on your left. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There's not a word that you say except that they are ready to record. They are raqib, they are watching you, subhanAllah. So have that consciousness. Belief in the angels. What's the spiritual belief with regards to the angels? The spirituality behind it, brothers and sisters, is that you know that the angels are watching you. You are aware that the angels are watching you. You are conscious of that. You don't enter into that place that you do not want the angels to see you in, subhanAllah. You do not want them to be recording that Ahmed was here at this time, etc., etc. Allah musta'an. You do not say that which would displease them, recorded on the left-hand side. He said such and such. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. In our grave, the angel will come. Munkar and Nakir. Who is your Rabb? Who is this man? Etc. They will ask. Allah musta'an. Malik, this is the gatekeeper of the hellfire. Ridwan, the gatekeeper of Jannah. Munkar and Nakir in your grave. Harut and Marut were those angels who came down, subhanAllah. Jibreel, Israfil and Mikael. And as some said, they are the ones who gave life. Jibreel brought the ruh, which was the spirit, which was a revelation. It gave life to the hearts. Israfil, he would be the one who would blow the trumpet and resurrect everyone from their graves. Mikael, the one in charge of rain and vegetation. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The angels, they send salawat upon you. They make dua for you. They seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for you. There's also times that the angels curse individuals. Allah musta'an. May Allah protect us from the curses of the angels, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the seeking of forgiveness from the angle and from the side of the angels. Brothers and sisters, we now move on bi-iznillahi ta'ala to the next article of faith. And what is that? That is the belief in the books. Amantu billah, an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi, and in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Small discussion. We believe in every single one of the revealed books. We believe in the Torah given to Musa. We believe in the Injil, the Gospels given to Isa. We believe in the Psalms given to Dawood alayhi salam, the Zabur. We believe in the Suhuf given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. We also believe that these revelations have been abrogated. By what? By the Noble Quran. And we also believe that those revelations have not been preserved. There's some of it preserved, and there's some of it which has not been preserved. You open up the Bible, there's some truth in it, and there's also additions to it. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. As for the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself that this book will be preserved. Brothers and sisters, since the Quran is the final and dominant one. It is the abrogator. And because it's the final and it's the dominant one, it has been protected from tampering and distortions. Because if it was tampered with or distorted, then subhanAllah, then mankind does not have any revelation relevant up till today. Allah states in the Noble Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the ones who have revealed it, and we are the ones who will protect it. Brothers and sisters, imagine your kid, 5 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old. Will you give him the keys to your Mercedes Benz for him to drive around town? No, you would not. Never, subhanAllah. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used him, has used that son 7, 8, 9 years old as a vessel for the protection of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the protection of the Noble Quran. He's memorized it, walhamdulillah. Little Ilyas, age 10, 12, he's memorized the Noble Quran from beginning till end. He's an A'jami, he's a non-Arab, he does not understand Arabic. He's memorized it from beginning till end, subhanAllah. That in and of itself is a miracle. Now we say to little Ilyas, that begin your study of the Arabic language. Understand what you've memorized now. Understand what you've memorized, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the Noble Quran was not revealed as something that we just read. Rather, it is for reading and for understanding. SubhanAllah, some king, some individual, some governor somewhere sends you a letter, but it's written in Spanish, or it's written in Zulu. King Goodwill Zulati sent you a letter, mashallah, and it's in Zulu, and it's got the royal stamp on it. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to look for the first person who knows proper Zulu so that they can translate it to English for you. Yes or no? What about the kalam of Allah? What about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for your guidance? Revealed for you. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That book in which there is absolutely no doubt, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that was the third article of faith. And تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه, and the books. بإذن الله تعالى, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we move on to the fourth article of faith, and that is belief in the messengers. And there's a long discussion with regards to that. حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, حياكم الله. We continue current discussion, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, more specifically the second hadith, and that's the hadith of Jibreel, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, the place, Medina Al-Munawwara, the questioner, Jibreel. Well, right now we don't know that it is Jibreel. We'll find out at the end of the hadith. The one being questioned, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the audience, the Sahaba companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the setting, Masjid An-Nabawi. Brothers and sisters, the second question being, what is Iman? Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to believe in Allah, the angels, the books. Now the fourth matter, fourth article of faith, to believe in the Rusul. To believe in the messengers, the anbiya, the messengers, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. What's the definition, brothers and sisters, of a rasul or a nabi? A human being chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive revelation and commanded to pass it on. He's been commanded to pass it on. This is a messenger. And the scholars state that there's a difference between a Rasul and a Nabi. The Rasul is the one who's been commanded to pass on this message, whereas a Nabi, not necessarily commanded to pass this message on. So I repeat, definition of a Rasul, messenger. The human being chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive revelation and commanded to pass it on. Some scholars give another difference between a Rasul and a Nabi, they state that the Rasul is somebody who comes with a new Sharia, whereas the Nabi is following the Sharia of the previous Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brothers and sisters, can you, through a lot of worship, a lot of ibadah, a lot of tazkiyah, etc., can you reach the level of a Nabi or a Rasul? Can you rise in your spirituality that you have now reached the level of a Nabi or a Rasul? Impossible. Impossible, subhanAllah. You cannot reach that station on your own. Rather, that is fadl from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. And after our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khalas, he was khatamun nabiyyin. He was the final prophet. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaja'alu risalata. Allah knows where He puts His prophethood. Allah knows who He chooses to be His prophet. It's Allah's choosing, brothers and sisters. Surah An'am, verse number 124. But the mission of every one of these rusul, every one of these anbiya, the mission was what? Was what? The mission was one, subhanallah. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And we have sent to every nation messengers. What was the message? What was the message? أَنْ اِعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah alone. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, and to stay away from false deities. Be them whatever ism or schism, man-made, whatever it might be, staying away from all of that ism and schism. Worship only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Surah Nahl, verse number 36. So the mission of every single one of the Rusul, every one of the Anbiya, was the same mission. They might have differed in the fiqh, they might have differed in the sharia, but as for the ultimate aim and objective, it was the same. Allah mentioned in the noble Quran, as for the final prophet, brothers and sisters, Allah states, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any one of you. Did our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have any male offspring that survived him? No. He had, for example, Qasim, who passed away in infancy. Then he had a son by the name of Abdullah, also passed away in infancy, as we had discussed in our series, The Prophetic Timeline. Brothers and sisters, Abdullah and Qasim were both from who? Who was the mother? The mother was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they passed away in infancy. Later on, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, plus minus in his 60s, he had a son. Which son? Ibrahim. From who? From Maria. Ibrahim also passed away in infancy, subhanallah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three of his sons had passed away in infancy. He did not leave behind any male offspring. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Allah states, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any one of you, any one of the men from amongst you. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. But rather, he is the Rasul of Allah, and he is the final prophet, subhanAllah. Not any type of Ahmadi or Qadiani type of ideology, that there is a Rasul, there is a Mahdi, there is a prophet, etc. after the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No! Khatam al-Nabiyyin, 100%, he is the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ahzab, verse number 40. Brothers and sisters, a side note. Allah states that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of anyone amongst the men. He did not leave behind any male offspring. Imagine if he did. Imagine if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Imagine the level of exaggeration people might have fallen in, subhanAllah. Maybe this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Because we do know that, for example, the Shia and others, they've gone into great extreme with regards to Hussein, with regards to Hassan. And they are what? They are the sons of the daughter of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're not his sons. They are his grandsons from his daughter. Usually, your daughters kids, they follow whoever their father was, they follow the surname, etc. of their father. But your son's sons, you know, they are closer to you, subhanAllah. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, had the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind male offspring and that bloodline continued, there might have been great exaggeration with regards to them. If people have exaggerated with regards to his daughter's offspring, imagine if he had male offspring who survived him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is a wisdom picked out by some of the scholars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Remember, Ashaddu al-nasi bala'an al-anbiya thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. The people who go through the greatest trials and tribulations, tough times in this world, are the anbiya and those who are closest and closest to them. Who said this? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, so the mission was one. Final prophet was our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Belief in the messengers, what does this comprise? It means to believe that the message is the truth, to accept all of the anbiya and all of the rusul, to believe in the message, to accept and to submit towards that message, subhanAllah. They were sent for our benefit, brothers and sisters. The Anbiya, they were sent for our benefit. They came with knowledge beyond the realm of the mind. They came with soul. They came with ruh, subhanAllah. As the revelation, it's called ruh. It's called the spirit. It's called the soul in the noble Quran. Brothers and sisters, they came with knowledge beyond the realm of our imagination. If we just had to sit, our mind could not fathom the mizan and Jannah and Jahannam. Our minds would never fathom the matter of the punishment or the blessings in the grave, etc. My minds cannot go there. The matter of the angels, the mind cannot go there. It is only through this revelation and through the coming of these rusul that we have that information. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he goes into a long discussion with regards to the human need for sharia in comparison to the human need for medicine. I repeat, Ibn al-Qayyim goes on to a long discussion. Now, what do we need more? Do we need medicine, our knowledge with regards to medicine? Is that, are human beings more in need of that? Or are they more in need of the sharia? And he proves, listing one argument after the other, that the need for human beings for sharia far outweighs their need for medicine, subhanAllah. Medicine for your body, whereas the sharia for your heart, Allah musta'an. Plus minus, how many messengers were there, brothers and sisters? There were plus minus 315 messengers. 315 messengers. As for prophets, plus minus 124,000. SubhanAllah, large number. 124,000 of the anbiya. There are 25 mentioned in the Noble Quran. And some amongst the names: Adam alayhi salam, Hud, Salih, Shu'ayb, Ismail, Idris, Dhul Kifl, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are some names mentioned in the Noble Quran. 25 in total mentioned by name in the Noble Quran. There's also Ishaq, Ya'qub, Ibrahim, Nuh, Dawood, Suleiman, Ayyub, Musa, Harun, Zakariya, Yahya, Isa, Ilyas, Yasa', Yunus, Lut, Yusuf. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Plus minus 25, not plus minus, rather exactly 25 mentioned in the Noble Quran. How many were Arabs? From all these 25, etc., mentioned in the Noble Quran, how many of them were from amongst the Arabs? Only four. Only four were from the Arabs. Who? Hud alayhi salam and Salih alayhi salam. They were from the early Arabs. They are called Arab al-Ariba. Arab al-Ariba. And then you had our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also from amongst the Arabs. In the Sunnah, you find others from amongst the Anbiya mentioned. You find Yusha' and you have Sheet. Yusha' and Sheet, not mentioned in the Noble Quran, but rather their names are mentioned in the Sunnah. There's debate with regards to some, whether they were from amongst the Anbiya. Example, Dhul Qarnayn, mentioned in Surah Kahf. Dhul Qarnayn debate. And we had gone through this here when we had gone through the series Gems from the Noble Quran. Dhul Qarnayn debate whether he was a Nabi, whether he was not. Tubba also debate. And lastly, there's also debate with regards to Khidr. Khidr alayhi salam mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf whether he was a prophet or whether he was not. Brothers and sisters, what's the job profile? If somebody asks, the job profile of a Nabi, the job profile of a Rasul, what's their job profile? Subhanallah. To pass on the clear message, to pass on this bayan, to pass on this clear message, da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give people glad tidings, to give people hope, but to also warn them with regards to their own destruction. Warn them with regards to great punishment if they do not obey. Purification of the nafs, purification of the heart of their followers. They came to correct these incorrect beliefs and practices. They came to establish the proof upon the people. They came to lead the ummah, subhanallah. Somebody says, you know what, we are doing the work of the Anbiya. Well, brother, the work that you are involved in, does it qualify with regards to these matters? Does it satisfy these job profile points that cover the job profile of a Nabi or of a Rasul? That they came to pass on the clear message, da'wah to Allah. They were not calling to themselves. They were not calling to themselves, come to me, come to me. No, rather they were calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They gave people hope. They brought glad tidings to the peoples. Purification of the hearts of their followers. To establish the proof on the people. To correct the incorrect practices and beliefs. In reality, to lead the ummah, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. What's the wisdom of the messengers and the prophets being human beings? Jayid? Why were the Rusul, why were the Anbiya human beings? Maybe, for example, they should have been angels. As we will see, many during their time said, why are you people, human beings, coming and doing this work? Rather, Allah should have sent angels to do this work. This work is too great. This work is too noble to have human beings doing it. Subhanallah. And some felt, well, you know what, the human being is unable. He doesn't have the ability, the capacity to do this work. As is mentioned in the Noble Quran. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ Subhanallah, that the mountains and the samawat and the ard, etc., they were unable to take on this amana, unable to take on this amana of this da'wah and this revelation. But insan, he had taken on it. Subhanallah. So he has the ability to take on this responsibility. We find, for example, during the times of the Anbiya, some people, they had come and they said, no, this can't be. This can't be that we have these human beings around and they are Anbiya. Can't be. Example, they said, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ Surah Furqan, verse number 7. What is this? It can't be that these rusul, يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ They eat food, وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ And they walk in the marketplaces. People who walk in the marketplaces and need food, etc. How can they be the ones sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can they be dispatched with this noble mission? No, it does not make sense. Allah Mustan, many of them rejected on the basis that these Anbiya and these Rusul were human beings. Allah Mustan. For example, they said, as is mentioned, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا Surah Isra. That many of them refused to believe. Why? إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا They said, أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا Allah sends a messenger who is a human being. Does not make sense to us. For example, in the Quran, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَن أَوْحِيْنَا أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ أَنْذِرِ النَّاسِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا People are amazed, people are shocked, etc., that we revealed to a man from amongst them to warn them. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and to give glad tidings to those who believe. They are shocked and amazed that we revealed revelation to a man from amongst them. وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Criminals they were. What did they say? They would say to their cronies and their friends, if you, وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ, you want to obey human beings just like you? Are we not going to believe in these people? We're not going to believe in this. He claims he's a Rasul. We're not going to believe in him. You want us to obey another human being just like us? إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. If you do that, you are lost. You are lost. You are wasting your time in following another human being like this. Surah Mu'minun, verse number 84. Subhanallah. يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ. We find, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating. That was rather Surah Mu'minun, verse number 34. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Banu Israel, verse number 95. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. How does Allah refute them? One verse, subhanAllah. Allah states, if there were angels walking this earth, then we would have sent down an angel as the Rasul. But there are human beings walking the earth, and thus the Rasul has to be from amongst the human beings. Because think about it, brothers and sisters. If angels were sent to do this da'wah, angels brought the revelation, what would we say? We would say, how can we follow them? It's too difficult. The Sharia is too difficult. We are unable to follow them. They were malaika. They were angels. We can't follow them. They are not really a standard for us to follow. Subhanallah. So that's why Allah sent human beings, so that you can follow. And a side note, brothers and sisters, as somebody had mentioned, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us to follow. For us to follow him. Allah sent him for us to follow him. The Sahaba, they would follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam because that's the Sunnah. Whereas many a times, we today do not follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because we say it is Sunnah. Allahumusta'an. Sahaba followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because it was Sunnah. And many a times today we do not follow. And our argument, well, it is a sunnah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We find, for example, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Rasul should say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a human being like you people. يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. But revelation comes to me. So the definition of a Rasul or a messenger, the human being chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive the revelation, and if it is a messenger, commanded to pass it on. Were there messengers from amongst the females? Was there any female who was a messenger? Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break and then we will attend to this matter. Messengers from amongst the females, we'll discuss. Hayyakum Allah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حياكم الله أهلا وسهلا. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Our series, the 40 Ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, specifically Hadith number 2, Hadith of Jibreel. Brothers and sisters, our discussion with regards to the fourth article of faith, and that is belief in the messengers. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله. Were the messengers only from amongst the men, or were they female messengers? Allah states in the Noble Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And we've not sent before you any except men who we have sent the revelation to. Every one of the Anbiya, every one of the messengers, they were from amongst the men. Surah Anbiya. And some reasons for this, that the role of a Nabi, the role of a Rasul, is a very public role, which is more conducive to the male. There's Qawama. So for example, if we had a female and she is a Rasul or she is a Nabi, And husband says, for example, I need this, or I want this, or you can't go out, etc. How's that going to work, subhanAllah? Because she's got her husband over and above her, and then she's supposed to be a Nabi or a Rasul, won't really work. We also find that the female, she undergoes situations which can affect her. She's pregnant, she's in her menses, she's in nifas, etc. She's just given birth. And so these matters, these cycles, etc. can affect things. Having said that, you did have, for example, certain ulama. You had Imam al-Qurtubi, great scholar. You had Ibn Hazm. You had Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. They were of the opinion that, yes, you did have from amongst females, messengers. They were of the opinion, super minority opinion, that you did have from amongst women, messengers. And they said, for example, Maryam. Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, you know, they said she was a Nabi. She was Nabi. Hawa, some said Sarah, some said Hajar, Asiya, the mother of Musa. Also, one should bear in mind that some scholars expanded their definition of a Nabi to include anyone that an angel came to. Anyone that was approached by an angel. And so, for example, Maryam, you know, the angel had come to her, etc. So, khalas, she is a Nabi according to that definition. And we say, as Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have not sent before you except men who we have sent the revelation to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brothers and sisters, what are some special qualities of the Anbiya and the Rusul? Number one, Wahi. Revelation. They do not speak out of their own doing. Rather, they speak of the revelation. مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. And we find that the ulama have put together, especially with regards to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the books of Khasa'is. Khasa'is, those special qualities related to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for generally the Anbiya, etc., then the scholars state that their eyes sleep, but not their heart. Their eyes sleep, but not their heart. There's also the choice at the time of death. Do you want to pass away now? Or do you still want to live for some time? They are given that choice at the time of death. They also are buried wherever they pass away. That's why our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's buried where? Buried in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why? Because he passed away there. And the Anbiya are buried wherever they pass away. Another special quality, that the earth does not consume the flesh of the Anbiya. So, Brother Ilyas passed away after 5 years, etc. You open up the grave, you find that there's only skeletons left. As for the flesh, you know, it's been eaten up by the earth, subhanAllah. As for the bodies of the Anbiya, then the earth does not eat up the flesh of the Anbiya. And lastly, that they are alive in their graves, the life of the Barzakh. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. But obviously their life in the Barzakh is not like my life and your life in the Barzakh. They have a much more complete, much more perfect type of life in the Barzakh. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. There's also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection over the Anbiya. It's called Isma. In that the message that the Nabi has come with, this message is protected. That is not going to be tarnished. It's not going to be distorted. They are also protected. The protection from Allah, that nobody is going to be able to kill them. How many times the criminals, they tried to assassinate our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Were they successful? Absolutely not, subhanAllah. So Allah's protection over the Anbiya from being assassinated. And then there's also the protection from shaitan. That shaitan will not get the better of them. They are also protected from major sins. Protected from major sins, subhanAllah. Unfortunately, if one looks at the Old and the New Testament, you find a lot of major sins attributed to the Anbiya. Allahumma istan, this Nabi and that Nabi and this Nabi, he's doing this and he's doing that. Na'udhu billah, subhanAllah. In reality, we say that the Anbiya are free from all of that. They are free from major sins. Yes, they were human beings and thus they were They were prone to human emotions. Would they be afraid at times? Would they have fear? Yes. We find, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the guests had come and he puts out the food and they are not eating, so he got a bit agitated, he got a bit frightened, he got a bit fearful. فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. He was a bit afraid. Surah Hud, verse number 70. Sometimes, you know, they can be a bit impatient. Musa alayhi salam with Khidr. How many times he asked, why did you do this? Why did you kill this boy? Why did you do this? Why did you break the boat, etc.? You know, Khidr told him, don't ask me. But he was a bit impatient, etc. Human emotions, right? Similarly, when he found, Musa alayhi salam found the people worshipping that calf, you know, he got a bit perturbed and impatient. Allah Musta'an got angry in reality. He got angry when he saw the people worshipping the calf. Can they forget? Can the Anbiya forget? Yes, they can, subhanAllah. Every human being forgets. We find Adam alayhi salam, when he had given about 40 years from his life to Dawood alayhi salam, when the angel of death had come to take his life, so he says, no, but I still have time left. I still have this number of years left. No. You had given to Dawood alayhi salam 40 years from your life. Nasiya Adam wa nasiya dhurriyatahu. Adam forgot and his offspring, they also forget. We all forget, subhanAllah, every one of us. In fact, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam once, he had performed salah. Many scholars state, based upon certain narrations, that this was Salatul Zuhr. He performed two rakas of the salah. Only two rakas. And he made salam. And then he turned around. And he's making his tasbih. And the sahaba are like looking at one another. What just happened here? And Dhul Yadain, he said, Ya Rasulullah, has the salah been shortened or did you forget? Prophet ﷺ said, no, it's not been shortened, nor have I forgotten. He says, no, you did forget two rakahs, you only prayed two. Prophet ﷺ asked the other sahaba, is what Dhul Yadain saying, is that true? I've only prayed two. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, you only prayed two. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he continued the salah. He prayed the other two rakahs and then he made sajdatu sahu at the end. Point is, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forgotten, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And by his forgetting, there was great wisdom. We learned how to perform sajdatu sahu walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. There's also the miracles of the Anbiya. We find, for example, the camel of Salih alayhi salam, the stick of Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the fire. When he was put into the fire, Bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, be cool upon Ibrahim. There was also the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the bird and it coming back to life. He wanted to see that the bird comes back to life. Isa alayhi salam and curing the people around him, those who had leprosy, those who had ailments, illnesses, etc. Ibrahim alayhi salam, many other miracles. There was also Isa alayhi salam and speaking in the cradle. You know, who is this? Are you a kid of zina, etc.? Allah musta'an. As for our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then many miracles too. The Quran is the living miracle of the Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Read it, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Understand it, O brothers and sisters. The Isra, the Miraj of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, splitting the moon, another miracle. And many a times, you know, that he would increase the food or he would increase the water in its quantity. Subhanallah. Either he would put his fingers into that water and then suddenly, you know, the water quantity would increase. Baraka of his dua. How many times he made dua about this, for this, etc. Man walks into the masjid. Ya Rasulullah, the animals are dying. They are dying. There's no rain. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts up his hands. And within a few minutes, the green clouds had already gathered. The next week, the man walks into the masjid. Ya Rasulullah, the animals are drowning. There's too much of rain. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifts up his hands and he makes dua for the rain to move away. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. What about, you know, minor errors? جيد. Minor sins, minor errors. Are the Anbiya prone to this? Can they fall into this? Majority of the scholars state yes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct them. If this were to occur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would correct them. Some examples. Adam alayhi salam, and he's eating from the tree. Adam alayhi salam was told not to eat from the tree, and he ate from the tree. Nuh alayhi salam and his son. So he says to his son, come, you know, come to the boat, you will be safe, etc. Right? And then he asked Allah, you know, you said that, you know, you will not disgrace me, etc. My son here, forgive him. Allah musta'an. Dawood alayhi salam, judging before he listened to the other side of the story. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made either honey haram upon himself, or for example, as others say, that Maria, he made her haram upon himself in trying to please the other wives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the noble Quran and corrected that matter, that لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَ اللَّهُ لَكَ, that why do you make haram that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal upon you? Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, the miracles of the Anbiya, walhamdulillah, we touched upon many of them, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. What about Salim Ahmed Ilyas? What about this pious brother whose name is Brother Saleh? You know, could there be something out of the ordinary that maybe he could do, or something could happen related to him? Yes, this is possible. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we accept and we believe in something which is called the Karama. The karamat of the awliya, that this man is a pious, righteous man. Well, every Muslim in reality who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got a level of wilaya within him, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The mu'tazila, they say, no such thing at all. We believe in them, and many have been recorded, walhamdulillah. And as the ulama state, what's the greatest miracle? What's the greatest miracle of the non-nabi? He's a non-Nabi, he's a non-Rasul, the ordinary individual, ordinary Muslim. What's the greatest miracle? أَعْظَمُ الْكَرَامَةِ لُزُوم الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. The greatest miracle is to be on the straight path. The greatest miracle to be strong on the straight path of Al-Islam. That you are firm upon your Islam, that is the greatest miracle. As Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he had said, and others, if you see a man flying in the air, you see a man walking on the water, etc., don't be taken in by all of that. Rather, check him with regards to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, part of the credibility and the truthfulness of the Nabi and the Rasul was the fact that they did not take any compensation. They did not ask people for money. They were not looking for power and authority. They were not looking to be the overall grand ruler, etc. They were not in it for the money, as is mentioned in the noble Quran. وَيَقُومِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. O my people, I do not ask you for money. In ajriya illa ala Allah. Verily, my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My ajr, my recompense is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Hud. We also find, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرِ. I do not ask you people for any money. I'm not after your wealth. Subhanallah. You remember that, you know, somebody comes to you, whatever it might be. If this person suspects that you are after their wealth, you want this, you want that, etc., they're going to put up barriers. But when people know you're not there for their money, you're not there to take their position, their authority, etc., khalas. They're much more calmer with regards to matters. So the Anbiya, what would they say? That I'm not come for any of money or anything like that. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, in the last few minutes, they were from the best of humans, subhanallah. They were from the best of humans, and no one can reach their level. Nobody, by your own good deeds, you can reach the level of a Nabi, or you can reach the level of a Rasul. These were the chosen ones, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After them in rank are the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then those after them. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as was mentioned, their primary message was the same, the message of Tawheed. They might have differed in the matters of fiqh. We find in our Sharia, in the early days, consumption of alcohol was allowed, and then later on this was prohibited. We find Adam alayhi salam, that his wife had given birth to two sons and then two daughters. One son from here got married to the daughter from the other. Son from there got married to the daughter from the other. They were the only human beings on earth. What could they do, Jaid? So this was allowed in the Sharia, not allowed in our Sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the Anbiya and the Rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had come with the message. They had come with the message which was clear, to remove people from the darkness of ignorance, from the darkness of misguidance, to the light of Al-Islam. To the light of not having to worship this deity and this one and that one and this one and that one, and your heart is here, there and everywhere. No, the matter of Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So we've covered Amantu billah wa malaika wa kutubihi wa rusuli wal yawmil akhir, the final day. Brothers and sisters, the final day. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions the matter of the final day. Many names it has: day of resurrection, day of reality, the event, the day of judgment, the overwhelming. Brothers, sisters, it's the beginning of your new life. Before it, there's a wind that will come from the direction of Yemen, and it will take the souls of all the believers. And so technically, the day of judgment, or the final day, the last day, this event will occur upon the worst of people. No believers. Believers have already passed away. It's the worst of creation. The worst of people are alive. And that's when Qiyamah would occur. Then you find, for example, there's the horn which would be blown, and all life will end. Allah mentions, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Surah Zumar. That when this trumpet is blown, when this horn is blown, everything on earth will cease. Everything will die, subhanAllah. And there'll be a period of 40. And it's not clear, 40 days, 40 years, 40 generations, Allah knows best. After this period of 40, all will be resurrected. Sulaiman, Ahmed, Ilyas, Fatima, Sumayya, Aisha, you will be resurrected naked, barefoot, and for the males, uncircumcised. We will be resurrected naked, barefoot, and uncircumcised. Aisha radiallahu anha asks, Ya Rasulullah, how could it be? People look at each other. He says that the matter on that day would be greater than people wanting to look at each other, subhanAllah. Then there will be the next blowing of the horn. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ قَالُوا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا, that who has awakened us from our slumber. So the first blowing of the horn, everything dies. Then there's a period of 40. Then the second blowing of the horn, and everything is resurrected. Those believers who had died due to the wind, etc., long before, all will be resurrected now, subhanAllah. Allah musta'an. And then there will be the standing on the mawqif. There will be the standing, sun above the heads, people drowning in their own perspiration, subhanAllah. Allah musta'an. Sun above the head. For thousands of years, people are just waiting and waiting and waiting. They run from Nabi to Nabi, from Prophet to Prophet. Ask Allah to start the hisab. Rather, I go to Jahannam is better than we waiting here. Than waiting like this. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Until eventually they will come to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will say, Ana laha, I am for it. He will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appraising that he did not even know before that day. And after that, the hisab would start. Allahu musta'an. Brothers and sisters, other events related to the last day: the drinking from the pond of Kawthar, the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others, our getting our books either in the right hand or in the left hand, the crossing of the sirat, subhanallah, entry into Jannah or entry into hell. Brothers and sisters, the mention of the matter of the last day many of the scholars, many of the pious, many of the righteous, when they would talk about this matter, they would weep and they would talk, being afraid with regards to the events of that day. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Your most beloved ones in this world, you will be running away from them on that day. Nafsi, nafsi, everybody is worried about themselves. Everybody is concerned with regards to their own salvation. You will go and you will look for those individuals who had done you down, so that you can take some of their good deeds. The one who backbit you, the one who slandered you, the one who spoke ill about you, the one who cast aspersions with regards to your reputation, whatever it might be, the one who lied against you, the one who spilt your blood, you are going to seek them out. On that day, it's not afu, it's not maf, etc. On that day, you're going to seek them out. Why? Because your salvation is dependent upon it, as you feel. You want to get from them, you want to make amends, you want to put things right. You want to get their good deeds. You want to take your evil deeds and put it on their scales. Allahu musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, brothers and sisters. Ya Abdallah, ya Amatallah, as some would say, with regards to the grave and with regards to Yawm al-Qiyamah, that we want light. When we want to cross the Sirat, we want light in front of us. When we are resurrected, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to recognize us by the light we have on our limbs. We want light in our graves, especially during these days and during these nights. Pray during the night. Pray in the darkness of the night for the light in the grave. Pray in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, for the light on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Pray in the darkness of the night, in the middle of the night, for light on the Sirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with all of the anbiya, the pious, the righteous, and the salihin in Jannatul Firdaus. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.